Hello. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You're in fact listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. How's it going, everyone out there? I am Joe. This is Carolyn. And today, we are finishing off the Awesome Con panels. How was Awesome Con for you, Carolyn? I know it's been several weeks now, but you know, everyone's been listening to these panels and seeing how good of a time we've had. How did you have times?
It was very awesome, as the name implies. I did write a blog recap, so if you're into looking at our photos from AwesomeCon or reading about our experience, you can go to curls-studio.com and look in the blog section. Scroll down a little bit, and you will see our AwesomeCon recap.
So this week, for our final AwesomeCon panel, we have the Pro Wrestling Today, How We'd Book It, in which it was one of the panels that I pitched, and I thought we must have it. And it was a pretty explosive panel, I must say. And there's a lot of craziness. There's a lot of absolute wackiness that happens on that thing. And it was a damn good time, I'd say. And I think it's something that should happen every single year. But before we get into that, what do we have, Carolyn?
We have some news. Last Saturday, we were at the ANS Comic-Con, and I planned to write a blog recap about that. That was a lot of fun, and we were tabled next to Frank Cho. It was pretty amazing. Also, you guys, Magic Bullet number 7 submissions are open. It's Halloween themed. It will come out in August before Baltimore Comic Con. It will be out for SPX. It will be out for New York Comic Con. It will be out for the October Capcom show. It will be out this fall, and we want you to be a part of it. So go to magicbulletcomics.com and look at all the submission procedures, and we will love to have you join us. And also, if you're interested in advertising, ad spots are open. We did sell out on all the color ads, but black and white ads are still available. So contact me or go to magicbulletcomics.com.
So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, check out the Awesome Con panel. Pro Wrestling Today, How'd We Book It? And I hope we'll catch you after the show. We'll give you a little send-off. But till then, have a good time. See you there, Carolyn.
Fandango.
Yes! 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 Yes!
That was a pretty amazing moment. We'll just start the show. We'll start the show with that, all right?
18 seconds.
I got a video camera, so you guys don't know.
Nice. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the very first Awesome Con and also the very first Pro Wrestling Today, How We Would Book It. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Make a lot of noise.
I'm impressed that we've got nearly as many people as the hip-hop panels.
What? let's be truthful about this. I think Awesome Con needs to have a pro wrestling panel every year.
It's true.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but DC is a freaking wrestling town.
It is.
Yeah.
Batista.
But yes.
No.
Yes, there's a warning. Things will be.
There is a reason that this is the city that CM Punk was cheered in when he was beating The Undertaker with an urn.
Exactly.
Right?
All
right,
so let's cut to the chase. Do you guys want us just to go right into it, like right into how we would attempt to book it, or do you want us to educate us on who we are? Why not? I don't know.
I want to talk about who I am. I'm important, damn it.
All right, let's do that.
I'm important.
All right, we'll start again. Ben. Who are you, and why are you here?
My name's Ben Taylor. I am a writer over at dogslifecomic.com. But more importantly, I'm here to talk about wrestling, man.
Yes.
That's, I mean, we got to do it.
That's right.
Right.
All right, Mr. TNA. Mr. Yes.
TNA. Oh, I'm here to rip on The Rock. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yes, I'm Dan Noakes. I'm also a comic book publisher, writer, and creator, but I also have been a wrestling fan since roughly 1988, and came here to talk about some wrestling with you fine folk.
Nice.
And promote Samoa Joe. Yes.
Yeah!
And
promote Samoa Joe.
Joe, 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 Joe.
Wait, we're talking about G.I. Joe, right? My name is Joe.
Excellent segue.
That's right. I have a podcast called The Carolyn Joe Show. Also a massive CM Punk fan, massive wrestling fan in general. It may be a surprise to you, but yes, I was in the Best of Backyard Wrestling Volume 1 and 2. I'm on the cover. So let's bring it all the way back.
Were you that guy crying off in the
grass? I was the guy, if you look at the first DVD, I was the guy putting Sanjay Dutt from TNA on a pile driver on the hood of a car.
Oh, yeah. That's me.
You have the tape.
Yes.
Yes. VHS.
Wait, there's still copies of VHSs around?
Yes.
Like, Fox didn't outlaw those?
Mine's on beta.
So since we're the subject of CM Punk, I'm going to swear to God, I am so pissed off that they took the belt off of him and gave it to The Rock.
I'm going to go on record and say this, right? I had this discussion with a friend of mine. After his historic run.
How many days?
400, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many days it was, let's be honest. And after all of the voice of the voiceless stuff, the heel turn, he's in my discussion for the greatest of all time.
I'm thinking so too. I'm not biased or anything, but.
Like, he is seriously, he's pretty damn good.
But let's think about the money. Like, for me, if I was thinking of, like, the most compelling story that we can actually put together, for my money, I would have rather seen The Undertaker versus CM Punk, a real streak versus streak.
Yeah.
I'd rather see whatever, how many days at that point, CM Punk's streak against The Undertaker's streak. And you know what? Maybe at that very moment, I would have been happy to see CM Punk lose. I'm not gonna lie. That's an okay defeat. But after you have him sort of lose the momentum, losing to The Rock twice, and John Cena at the same time.
I kind of agree, but you would have been stuck in the same situation where the title was on a part-time wrestler.
That's true.
Like, no offense to The Undertaker.
What did Rock wrestle, like, 2 matches?
Let's put it this way. You put your belt on a guy who, in the 8 weeks leading up to WrestleMania, isn't on TV for 5 of them. Yeah. Fuck that.
Here's my solution. Yeah. How about this? When if Undertaker was to win against CM Punk at this past WrestleMania, retire with the belt.
See, I think he should have retired at 20-0.
Yeah.
20-0.
Because 20-0 sounds way better than 21-0. And no offense, but that end of an era match, was fucking amazing.
He will retire when he loses his first WrestleMania.
Yeah. Well, there you go. But
so he's going to be wrestling until he's 300.
Who are you going to allow to take the Undertaker out? I mean, story-wise, to where the fans are satisfied.
All right, so here's a question. Who realistically is going to beat him?
Do you give it
to a newcomer, or do you give it to a guy that's on the up-and-coming and that has the ability?
Because if they drop the streak to John Cena, I'm literally going to punch someone.
Yeah.
This guy has a Hulkamania shirt on.
And we're not dropping the streak to Hulk Hogan. Get out of here, Bionic Commando.
Now you're going to fight El Pulo Tigre out in the streets.
All right, let's be honest.
Blood will flow.
Let's be honest about Hogan, then, since we brought out Hogan. What was the last thing that you were happy that Hogan did?
Retire?
Yeah.
He made a
video tape. Drive WCW into the ground.
I mean, here's the weird thing. Like, I don't know whether you guys noticed, but English people don't give a shit about Hulk Hogan.
They don't?
No, because he's put over as the real American, and we're like, we've got David Bush Smith. We have wrestlers.
Yeah.
We have Dynamite Kid.
You got Lorne Regal, man.
We have Steven Regal.
Yeah.
We have Wade Barrett.
Yeah.
All right, so
hey, I like Wade Barrett.
I like Wade Barrett too, but he's being booked like an idiot.
Well, yeah. You brought the fact. You brought the. We were talking like
the souvenir. What a stupid name that was.
We were talking before about Wade Barrett. Are both you fans? You're fans.
I'm a fan of Wade Barrett.
He's a great wrestler.
Is his background legitimate? Do you know if he really is a bare knuckle?
You can't prove it if he is.
Yeah. Somebody with a black guy gonna come out. Yeah, he kicked
my ass. Wade Barrett kicked my ass.
It was awful.
All right. So.
What happened? Nothing.
But I tripped and fell.
To kind of pull you back to your original point with The Rock and Cena,
yeah,
right? I have some statistics.
Oh, it's the research.
Yeah. He has facts, people.
Right? The whole reason they brought The Rock back, apparently, was to drop the belt, pass the torch to John Cena, right?
Yeah.
That's what everyone's been saying.
He did it in The Rock, though.
All right, listen to this. John Cena, 13-time world champion, 3-time U.S. champion, 4-time tag team champion, 2-time Royal Rumble winner. His first world title win was in 2005. He has been world champion, if you total his reigns, for more than 3 years. The Rock, if you total all of his reigns, is a year and a day. Who needs to pass the torch to who?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The Rock is
Was there ever a time where anyone here was a fan of John Cena?
No. Okay.
There is. There's serious.
When he fucked your ankle.
Wait. Let me pick that. Wait. You met a girl. when were you a fan of John Cena?
Yeah. All he's doing is raise your hand. Please report to the bathroom. There'll be a firing squad.
Wait. I want to hear what she has to say.
Yeah. Wait. Are you talking when he actually first came out, or when he came out to wrestle Kurt Angle as the Angle Challenge?
Yeah.
When he was the prototype.
When he was wearing tights?
Well, he was the prototype.
He was like Proton
Pack?
The prototype?
Well, because that's what he was called in the indie, well, the World Bodybuilding Federation.
The Death Valley Driver? Did he? I completely forgot about that.
See, I completely forgot about Rikishi. Yeah.
See, all right.
I still have nightmares.
Because he tried to... Because he was in, like, the most useless running over storyline of all time.
That was...
Rikishi ran over Stone Cold, and nobody gave a shit. The Rock. I did it for The Rock, man. The Rock doesn't beat... Whatever.
The thing is, you can't take Rikishi serious as a heel if he's still doing the stink face to people.
Yeah.
That's it.
You just can't take the stink face serious.
I mean, I couldn't take Kelly like serious as a face when she does the stink face to people.
There's two moves.
Maria Munoz.
The stink face and the Bronco Buster.
Wait a minute, you guys watch the women's wrestling on WWE? That's where I like go get a snack and... I'm sorry, it's horrible.
Well, let's think about this.
It is now.
It
wasn't always, I agree with you.
Right. In all honesty, people, I mean, are you guys fans of the Divas matches?
No!
Are you guys... What?
WWE. Yeah. TNA.
The Knockouts.
Yes, I agree with you.
All right, let me get a poll here. Are you a fan of the WWE Divas matches or the WWE Divas photo shoots?
Calendar.
I think we're good.
Yes.
All right, let's bring it back. All right,
How would we book it?
The Summer of Punk, let's bring it back. Did you like how it came out?
No.
No.
How would you want? We'll start with Ben, and then we'll go, let's start with Dan.
All right.
Mr. TNA, how would you book that?
Yeah, simple. Take all the great guys at TNA and do a reunion of Fortune with Punk as the... With Punk as the leader, man.
All right, seriously.
Come on, Punk, AJ Styles,
TNA's
Samoa Joe, Beer Money. Yeah. Coming in as a stable. You would not want to see that.
Yeah. I seriously tell that.
It won't. But this is you're saying. This is how would I book it? That's
we have
how
our
I
first
book
316 sign.
Yeah. Bam.
Just to be clear, so it's on record. That says bam 316.
Is that a DDP reference?
No.
That would be bang, sir.
Oh, I'm totally sorry.
All right.
So my spelling's atrocious.
We have a question for the gentleman.
As highly detailed as your booking was.
Yeah.
All right, Ben. So how would you book Summer Book?
Well, we have a question for the dude in the Hulkamania shirt.
All right, Terry.
If you brought like Beer Money,
and Samoa Joe into the WWE and reunite like a little mortal portion of whatever reunion.
Yeah.
WWE, they will lay waste to WWE. I mean, bar none. I mean, they're much better wrestlers than athletes.
No, they wouldn't, because Vince wouldn't book them.
No, he'd tell you what. Basically, he would. Here's my thing. He would. First off,
just, wait, just like how they did, what's his name, Wildcat Chris Harris? Just
yeah.
Like,
yeah, they, oh, yeah.
I'm Great Walker.
They would turn Samoa Joe into another Umaga. Easily, they would turn. It would fizzle out.
He's not better than Umaga. I mean, Umaga, maybe rest in peace, don't disrespect the guy, but I mean, they try to call the Samoa bulldozer. He only had the one move to take gum to the throat.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that Joe's pretty good on the microphone, and he's a great wrestler, but I'm saying they would turn him into a one-dimensional Umaga clone.
Yeah,
and it would fizzle out in 3 months, and he'd be gone.
Yeah. So he'd be right back.
You know what I like about this crowd? Like, I don't have to hold back, I can actually say, oh yeah, TNA this, or, you know, I don't have to, like, sugarcoat, like, my actual talk. I feel good here, guys.
Yeah.
This is good.
I feel comfortable.
No one's talking about Ring of Honor yet. Anyone here watch Ring of Honor? Are any of you going to the pay-per-views happening on June 22nd in Baltimore? What? John Cena.
The John Cena thing.
That's right. Just,
by the way, if Cena wins, we riot.
You know what? I can't see you.
All right, so
how would you Summer Punk? Basically, you know, his contract is coming up. Supposedly, he's gonna leave. If he wins the belt, that's the best.
I would have let him win the belt, and I would have let him leave, and I would have kept him gone for at least maybe 2 months. And in those 2 months, he would have made media appearance after media appearance after media appearance, calling Cena out.
It's like because he showed up at Comic-Con, right?
He would have shown up on Conan.
Or Clubber Lang,
All these different things, the radio shows he does. And he would have made a point, Cena isn't the WWE champion, I am.
Yeah.
And then, when he makes his return, it's even bigger than it was. I mean, one of the most non-verbal statements that has ever been made in wrestling, in my opinion, is that moment when he came back to Cult of Personality and they walked down to the ring and Cena was like, the champion's here, and lifted the belt, and it was silent. And then Punk lifted the belt,
yeah,
and the crowd went nuts. There, yeah. Right? If you'd have extended that, your microphone's gone flaccid.
I know. There's a statement being said here. I just don't get it.
He should have been away for two, maybe even three months.
Because they should have built the hype train even more for that match.
You know why? Because I felt like at that moment, I didn't feel like this for a long time, but it sort of felt legitimate. It sort of felt like something real was happening.
And it would have felt even better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And the first thing, and the next thing I would have done, I would have told Triple H to fuck off.
Well, you know what happens after that?
I would have been like, I am not going to let you squash my push again. I would have kept, and as much as I knock on John Cena, his matches with CM Punk were phenomenal.
Yeah.
That Money in the Bank match, that's a great match.
There's drama there.
I think Punk is a guy that is one of those guys that brings out the best in whoever he wrestles. Like, for example, he took on, what's his name?
The Undertaker.
That
was a joke, people.
What's the dancing dude's name?
Oh, Fandom.
Brodus Clay. He took on, Brodus Clay wrestled some pretty mediocre matches.
Don't you think it's pretty sad that
he took on Punk, you saw the best you saw out of Brodus Clay.
He
was an actual wrestler again.
The dancing dude, and we could name like four people in the
back. Yeah, that's...
And one of them is Tensai.
Yeah, that's true. What happened to Albert, man?
Yes, because they are a disaster. But no, I would have kept, like, the Triple H thing was interesting.
Yeah.
But it killed the momentum of the Summer of Punk.
You know why? Because it wasn't about Punk.
No,
it was about Kevin Nash. It was about this text message.
I do think that Kevin Nash, he's still alive, LOL.
They did everything in their power not to make it about Punk in any sense. From all the way to when he first won the belt, all the way to when he lost the belt, they took any other kind of angle. I mean, look at the WrestleMania card. The World Championship, or I guess WWE Championship match, should be
the top item. I mean, the first time when he wrestled as champion, what was it, third down the card when it was posted, and then it became fourth down the card when Sheamus did the bro kick in 18 seconds. So what was it, your WWE Championship match is fourth down on the card.
See, I agree, but at the same time, it produced that whole angle of respect.
Yeah.
And that's one of the greatest heel turns of all time.
Yeah.
Like, that's the most effective heel turn I've witnessed. I mean, sure, you had Hogan in the NWO, but that heel turn was a heel turn, almost a heel turn for the fans. Because everyone sat in this room, I would hope, agreed with every word that came out of Punk's mouth. Respect me.
Yeah.
I have been your WWE champion for 400 plus days.
I've been giving you the most interesting matches that I could possibly produce. And
when they
teamed
up with Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
Is everyone here a Paul Heyman guy by any chance?
Yeah. Another brilliant wordless statement by Punk. He climbs in the car, Heyman looks out, shakes his head, and drives off.
Beautiful.
The amount that Punk and Heyman can say without saying anything. It's the it factor.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Bobby Roode?
I blew my nose on that one. That was beautiful.
I just...
Here's the thing, though. That's one concern I've actually been feeling towards, like, almost any from both TNA and from WWE is, like, I feel like the belts mean nothing. Even since when Vince Roode was like, it's a prop.
Well, they do now. I mean,
I wish the belts mean something because I just finished watching the Mick Foley DVD and like the belt did mean something
for 443 days and yes. Then they put it on the cock.
You had
CM Punk win the WWE Championship and the day after Monday it was like, I'm going to redesign this thing.
Do you think that that's
and then he lost it before, and someone else debuted the redesigned title. Get the fuck out of here.
Can we go back to the 90s belt for the WWE title? Please?
Finally. I hated that title.
Yeah, but it looks like a class ring now.
Yeah.
Do you think we need to bring...
I want the WWE title from the WWF title.
We got a question. I'm torn between the New York and Hulkamania. Do you have a question? I'll let you.
Yes! 1987?
Steamboat Savage? Everyone touts that as the greatest WrestleMania match of all time, but they're wrong.
Which one?
Steamboat Savage.
Yeah.
I think they're wrong.
I don't think it, well, let me correct
that.
I don't think it's as good as everyone remembers. The whole George the Animal Steel thing, and like the build up to it was amazing, but I just felt the payoff was cheap.
What was the payoff?
Exactly.
Unfortunately, it wasn't because
it was the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. You wouldn't need to ask that.
It was a dusty finish, right?
Yeah.
Say a dusty finish? Yes. I love it.
Terminology from the crowd.
But yeah.
Wait. Let's give it to Dan. When was the last time the Intercontinental title was important to you?
Important to me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go with. Was it 2000 with the triple threat match with the European and Intercontinental title? Angle Benoit and Chris Jericho. That was the last time it was important to me.
The last time the Intercontinental title was important is right before China touched it.
Yes.
Oh!
And that's the same for everything she's done in life.
Especially X-Pac.
Sean Waltman, people.
But to actually answer the question.
Oh yeah, welcome in. Cindy Locker.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And fail.
Exactly.
But you're like the college career, you spent 4 or whatever years working for, when you earn it, you're happy. Right? Am I right?
Yeah.
It's like this, like, now I know I was only very young when hoped to be an IRC for the child.
Dan, you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've seen the match.
Well, I heard about it around the campfire. Who's home? Told ghost stories.
What were you saying?
It's like the night when back in.
I heard he made a tape.
Oh. Yeah. A lot of people go to the house very important, not for him, but for the business as well. Because, for Vince Jr., because that is trying to take it over for his dad.
Yeah.
And he wants to move the business out to the mainstream. Even if it meant rolling over the territories and stealing their talent.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like this. Even like when Ric Flair won the title many times, you know how important that was to him?
Yeah.
16 times.
Yeah.
How many wrestling champions can you say he won the title 16 times?
Nowadays, lots of them.
Lots of them.
He's coming pretty close.
Yeah.
Listen. Cena used to go back to what he was before, not this. I'm happy to be a hero. I love kids.
So can we not do that? Because it's so obvious.
Then answer to is Ric Flair. Like, how many people now that win the title so many times can you go back and say the times that he wore it that was so important? Like, we can go back with Flair's title reigns and think back to like when he took on Steamboat.
That knocked out the No Holds Barred match with Terry Funk.
Yeah, Terry Funk, or yeah, go back like with any of those guys now. Can you go back and say like how like there's somebody like with Cena? It's always like, oh, he beat Edge.
Can I answer your continental title question?
Sure.
Like actually, legitimately.
Okay.
It's really hard for me, especially being English, for the Intercontinental title to have meant anything after SummerSlam 92. When I had fourth row seats for Bret Hart Bulldog.
That's just awesome.
I had fourth row seats. I was like this far from him. And I got to see that match in Wembley Stadium in England and the British Bulldog winning. Nothing's going to top that. Nothing's going to top that.
Let's take another question. I know your hand was up.
I'm going to just I think the troll in the back's got a question.
But we'll go with this dude right here. You with the Batman shirt, what's your question?
What do you think about them taking away the Cruiserweight title? I believe they should bring that back because with all these Cruiserweight wrestlers,
all I see is the Redskins behind him shaking his head like,
nice. The Cruiserweight title, honestly.
Did you say the Cruiserweight or light heavyweight?
Or like Cruiserweight.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, but I feel like the Cruiserweight has more legitimacy. Unless you count Taka Michinoku holding the belt forever.
I'm just gonna say this: which belt was on the line when Jericho listed his 1,004 holds? That one's more important.
Cruiserweight title. I mean, it's true.
Here's the thing: if the other titles don't mean anything, what's the idea of bringing another one back?
And here's the other thing, right? Just how many cruiserweights get TV time now?
Not that many. Barely any. But you see TNA. You got all these hot.
And who's making more bangs?
Let's be honest. Motor City Machine Guns? It's just a tag team of cruiserweights. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they're really good.
But an awesome tag team, nonetheless.
But here's the thing, right? At the end of the day, it would be just another belt. The US title wasn't even booked for a WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
The Intercontinental title was on the pre-show.
Yeah.
And the Funkadactyls and Tons of Funk versus Rhodes Scholars and the Bella Twins was booked for the main card.
Yeah.
What? And here's the other thing.
What?
The US title, Kofi Kingston hasn't won a match all year, beat Santonio Cesaro once, is number one contender, beats him a second time. How are we supposed to take that seriously?
How are you supposed to take it seriously if you have to beat the champion
twice
to be the number one contender? Like, I feel like number one contender should it be
two guys that are fighting for the title, then right.
I have a question.
It should be just like how in ECW you had like the Eliminators and then Rob Van Dam, Sabu, and then they would kill each other to get to the Gangsters, who was just as important to get there.
All right, I have a question on how would you book it? And this is especially for you, Tim.
You asking me?
I'm asking both of you.
Dead, let me answer one.
All right.
And this is a TNA-centric thing.
Okay.
Does anyone here watch TNA, first of all? I saw Bam go do this with his hand. He's like, I don't know about Bully Ray.
Here's my thing. All right, go. All right, go. Question first, and then I'll have my statement.
How would you have booked Aces and Eights?
How would I put Aces of it?
Number one, it would have been Jeff Jarrett as the president. Yeah. Number one. Number two, it would have been Jarrett being angry at Sting being the first inductee into the Hall of Fame. Number three, whoever like half of these WWE rejects that they have as the Aces since Ace would have been out, and I would have gotten somebody else. Because pretty much when I watch TNA, I don't watch any of the Aces and Ace stories. I go right straight for the original guys that were there, the AJ Styles. Although, did anybody see last story? AJ Styles looks awful. He looks like he's let himself go.
You know why?
I mean, he still looks better than anybody in this room combined.
Hold on a second, Dan. We can't go start talking about people not looking
like... I made that addendum. He still looks, even in bad shape, looks better than pretty much, you know.
The first booking that I would do, first of all, TNA, is to get rid of Mike Tenay on commentary. Because it's so ridiculous. It's like, let's do, like, it's like, suplex, oh, he did a suplex, that really hurts the back. Oh my, he's like, it's so Mr. Obvious. He's not telling a story. So it's like, what he does is he's not making up for the fact that they're not telling a story in the ring.
Yes.
It's like, oh yeah, that's, oh god, dude, I can't believe it. Dude, that's Mike Knox. Do you remember Mike Knox from WWE? It's like, who's
that's why he's here.
I heard Joey Styles needs a...
You know why nobody remembers Mike Knox? Because he was next to Kelly Kelly.
Oh, sure.
But see, like, I'm not gonna lie. I think pretty much Bully Ray is super important to TNA. Because what other heel do they have? Except the Antichrist Jeff Hardy when he was that.
We have A Double.
Oh yeah, A Double.
Who, every time he says A Double, I want Arn Anderson to run out and punch him in the face.
Now, how about he does...
And then I'm going to punch him in the face, too.
I'd rather see him do a spine buster, because the guy still had the best spine buster I've ever seen in my life.
I can mention that. And he wrestled bears. Did you know that?
Have you not seen that clip?
It's on Saturday Morning Slam, and it's basically Daniel Bryan going off on about wrestling bears.
He's
on commentary. He's like, you know how he wrestled bears? Me. Patty LaBelle. Arn Anderson, and he's like, we all wrestle bears.
And then once I think it was like Kofi Kingston put a bear hug. He's like, it's a bear.
It's a bear hug. I can't bear the anticipation.
He's like, I can't bear it. This is unbearable.
And it's clearly, it's just.
Daniel Bryan needs to be an awesome con next year.
And they cut to the commentary, and he's like, he's literally slamming the table. And Josh is just sat there trying to hide the laugh, and he's like, and it's just like, oh my god.
What was your
I heard he could also talk to bears.
About the Aces and Eights storyline, right?
Yeah.
Do you know why I could never take Aces and Eights seriously? It's because of Hulk Hogan.
I thought you were going to say because of...
Sat there going, wait a minute, Hulk Hogan ran the NWO.
Yeah.
The most invasive force in the history of wrestling. And he's not just emptying the locker room every time these 8 kids show up. There are 56 people on the TNA roster. You empty the locker room, you break their legs, and they never come back.
What's the first thing that Hogan did?
Dude, does nobody learn?
What is the first thing Hogan did when he went to TNA? One, got rid of Six Eyes, and Ben, let's put the Nasty Boys in the title picture.
The first thing that Tom Hogan did when he went to TNA was getting paid.
Let's get the Nasty Boys, they sleep in my house, come on.
he had that show.
They work for McDonald's.
Man in the tag role.
It's either going to be Troy, but it's not going to be Troy. It's going to be right next to him.
Okay, first and foremost, the whole thing with British wrestlers, you still have, or at least you had, 3 others you can be proud of as well. You have D.H. Smith, you have...
You mean Harry?
I did like Desmond Wolfe. He was a pretty...
Yeah.
I'm not saying
there aren't British wrestlers that we can be proud of. I'm saying that it is going to have to... For me personally, I was 11 years old, sat 4th row watching Bulldog beat Bret Hart in his hometown. It ain't going to get better than that.
I only have one last cool deal for this. For TNA, it's not even so much with Aces and Eights, even for being a huge homage to Sons of Anarchy.
A bad one at that.
Big guy has some sort of invasion angle. It's
something.
Again.
Yes, yes.
Like I said, none of them have ever panned out in the last five years.
As much as I really want to go to Hulk Hogan again, the man in the Marvel shirt had his hand up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can tell you what. I can tell you the answer to that. It's simple. They are not original. It is quite obvious.
They had Vince Russo as their booker.
Yeah, they had a chance. They had a chance to basically hire Paul Heyman. There's a meeting. Paul Heyman. There's a moment where Paul Heyman was gonna, be part of it. And all he wanted to do, was change the whole entire show. he was like, the first thing I'm gonna do is you're gonna have one legend. And that's going to piss off a lot of people, but that means you can have a Hogan, you can have a Sting, but you can just have one. So you can't have Hogan, Sting, Booker T. You can only have one legend, because that takes away from everyone else.
Yeah.
It's obvious, but I understand, these are legends and whatever, but...
And then said they basically have the legend to promote... Like, I'm here to see the Motor City Machine Guns Beer Money Match.
Yeah, I'm sure how worried that
was. And that was probably those series of matches, the greatest tag team matches I had seen in 20 years. And they just basically, that was the point where TNA went from here and then took a nosedive not too long afterwards.
Who's that? Alex Shelley, yeah, man. He's working for New Japan now, right?
Hey. It was actually this gentleman I was trying to get the answer.
Oh, sorry. WWF,
I'm called WWE.
Amen to that.
That's true.
Yeah, they all have SmackDown.
Their competition basically is like real shows.
Yeah.
Like, American Idol is a real competition to WWE, and I mean, and that's true. You know,
I mean, with the rate that he was ringing in wrestlers a while ago, their competition was Rey Mysterio, right?
Yes.
Oh,
I'm here with this guy. Yeah.
I want to stick up for this thing real quick. Just don't you think dialogue about the rest? I don't think that right now.
Because you are.
I feel like the slow reveal of who are these guys, happy or anonymous, the one guy we were over a week late, the couple of saying you have nothing, is a slow build.
No. We're not talking about the execution of it.
Right.
You want the names?
My problem is, and this is going to sound really bigoted of me.
You're like, I don't like D-Von.
You're British.
That's true, I am British. When your world title competitors are Bully Ray and Jeff Hardy, two people that killed themselves for the WWE's tag team titles.
Jeff was like the most over dude in WWE before he left.
It doesn't matter. It's a perception.
Yeah.
He could be the most over man in the world. The Hardys were the most over tag team ever. Well, almost. But he's still, at heart, a tag team wrestler. Everyone knows him as the man who jumped off the 25-foot ladder at WrestleMania 2000. The man that got speared off the ring in the middle of TLC by Edge. They don't know him as a world title contender. Bully Ray is known for
tag team.
D-Bon,
yeah, basically.
Get the tables.
And then D-Bon is known for. What's that?
D1 is known for a shitty bug commercial.
Yeah.
Now let's flip. I'm gonna flip it a little bit. All right. Is there a storyline or an angle that you've really actually enjoyed in the past couple of years, and why? And you're gonna go second, then.
Okay. Yeah, I need to think. Yeah. I need some.
And I'm assuming I can't say CM Punk, right?
Yeah.
No, because that's obvious. All right. It's obvious for now, but there must have been something else that you really enjoyed.
All right.
Really enjoyed?
Yeah, I mean, out of all time.
Anything that involved Paul Heyman? No. All right, here's what I really enjoy. And it's not necessarily a storyline. It's Chris Jericho assuming the role he has assumed in the WWE. He knows he's aging. He knows he's one of the few experienced guys on the roster that can still keep up with the younger guys. And he's taken a bunch of them under their wing and he's putting them over. AKA not The Undertaker. Sorry. Exactly. he's...
Who didn't have to be at WrestleMania, by the way.
Yeah. I love the fact that Jericho, he's seeing that he's got Fozzy. He's seeing he's got all this experience. And he's seeing the potential in people like Fandango. Like these, all these people that he's...
Yeah.
And I'm loving the fact that he's willing to do the job.
What about you, Dan? What's your favorite?
I would venture to say the last... obviously, no. I would have to say, in terms of a story, the last two build-ups for WrestleMania with Triple H and The Undertaker. I have to say they were both handled very well.
Yeah.
I think it was the first one, like, basically, Undertaker gets in the ring, doesn't say a word, and then Triple H, you know, gets in the ring, doesn't say a word. They both look at the WrestleMania sign. They both give their perspective.
Taunts.
You know, yeah, taunts. And get out of the ring, and nothing was said. But I mean, I not only do I appreciate that as a wrestling fan, but I appreciate it as somebody who's a storyteller.
Yeah.
That's story without dialogue, but everybody gets it, you know. And I think those, like, both times they went to WrestleMania, it was handled very well. So much so that I thought both those matches were the best matches on the card.
All right, for those another flip.
Do you want to hear what old Cody has to say?
Yeah. Tell us, brother.
Dude, he's black. You can't say that. You're white.
Context, people.
Sorry.
Context.
Phrasing, people.
Right, but just so to get you over, what is your real name? What's your real name?
Okay.
Okay. That's all right. What's your question?
Which one?
Which color?
Narrow it down.
Right. Yes, that's because
was
it involves
Cena.
Was
that a question?
No, but I have to say this.
Yeah, like wheeled out, basically.
Yeah. At that one, Undertaker returned last year, facing both he, him, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels all walked out and beat together.
Yeah, but you see the
and
welts
that's
on
what
his
I
back.
That should have been his retirement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now speaking of Triple H and WrestleMania, did everyone see WrestleMania 29?
Yes.
No.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna come out of my win. No. I'm gonna say my favorite, all-time favorite. Moment of this past WrestleMania.
Frosted Age.
When Triple H was frosted on his side. Yeah. I thought he was pulling like a glacier.
Are you sure it isn't the moment where he knocked Brock Lesnar out like a minute into the match? Like, hey Brock, I'm just gonna knock you out. Wait, you're not Kurt Angle?
What? No, you can't raise your hand again. Not yet. Okay.
Come on, man, it's our panel!
Before you do that, I saw another hand. I actually want to see if these ladies have a question.
No.
All right. Just check.
Nothing.
All right.
All right.
You have my question. Go ahead.
There you go.
No. He's had questions. Your question. Okay.
He has been vetoed. He has been censured. Not really.
I'm a little divided there. I cannot take them seriously because they have Mr. Anderson.
Yeah.
I hate to break it to you. No one takes them seriously because they're aces and eights.
Well, I get the credit for the fact that they actually wrestle in matches, which is why I don't believe in the Shield.
Oh. I hate to break it to you.
I don't think
if I could rebook an angle, it would be the Shield.
Are you?
And
they don't wrestle. I mean,
they don't need to.
Whoa. All hell is going to break.
Here's one thing I think.
Wait, do you guys, first of all, do you believe in the Shield?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Dan, all right, let's debate it. Why, Dan, why do you not, in a short span, Why do you not believe in the Shield?
What are they, like a figmentary thing? Oh, no, I never see them. They're like Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster.
I have proof. It's on tape. They're there.
Why
CGI.
Is the angle not working?
Explains that hair in the head.
Is the angle not working to you? Is there
persona? It's not. It's like they're not the greatest on ring, on mic personas. It's like, I haven't really seen them.
They hurt people.
All they do, they come in and they jump back out. All right.
See, I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that. The problem, I believe in the people in the Shield. The wrestlers in the Shield. The problem is the angle has not evolved.
Yeah.
The angle needed to be the moment that it was outed they were working with Punk, that it was the Shield, Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, CM Punk, the New Dangerous Alliance, and they're taking over the WWE.
I like the Dangerous Alliance. That's for one of the first times they noticed Austin, as a wrestler.
And I'm like, you have the four biggest bruisers in the WWE backing up CM Punk, who is the champion. That story writes itself.
Yeah. Rock and Triple H, so you have a DX tie-in, so you can do a Survivor Series of all.
Not to mention, you technically have two titles, two top titles. You can have one guy take one and one guy take the other, and that's how.
Who thinks the Shield is going to be Kane and Daniel Bryan for the tag team belts?
It's obvious at this point.
They should have let them go on the Undertaker. I honestly think they should have came in and...
I don't think they could have gone on The Undertaker, because The Undertaker couldn't take that powerbomb. Or more accurately, The Undertaker wouldn't take that powerbomb.
Alright, you have a question. Or a comment?
Yes, sir.
I just want to say, I want to stay into this Shield here. This is why I believe the Shield, because, those guys are good. First of all, Dean Ambrose is good at
I
enjoy the Shield because they're, to me, they're a variation on the classic kind of bully angle. They come out and they hassle guys, which is but they're not as cowardly as you typically see bully angles, because they don't scatter as readily.
And they're clever.
They start to use shaky cam.
Yeah. For no reason, really.
I mean, what other invasion group, the moment that... Yeah. And that's the other thing. What other group that does these, reinvasions is that smart? They've played the idea of they will always isolate someone, team up. They're using their brains. But my problem is the angle isn't evolving. It's in fact, the angle has regressed to Team Hell No. That was their first feud. It's regressed. But if it's the Shield, Brock... Sorry, I have to say, I love the way Paul Heyman says Brock Lesnar.
Brock
Lesnar. It's like he's having an orgasm. But... And seriously, he could literally walk in the ring,
there's a whole prison ring scene that just materialized in my head, thanks Ben.
Let's be honest, the best promos I've ever seen, really in a sense, they sort of sound like they're having an orgasm.
Yeah.
Like you go even Mick Foley, you start shaking, no, you don't! It's like, there's always that pop instead, and he's happy.
But here's the thing, right? Paul Heyman could literally walk into the ring, pick up the mic, say Brock Lesnar and leave.
Yeah.
And it would be a better promo than anything Cena's ever cut.
Yes, absolutely.
Except maybe that rap against The Rock where he used the Brokeback Mountain line. I was like, well done, you have me tonight, sir.
Speaking of which, I loved it when they were promoting the whole Rock and Punk fights and Punk bury The Rock.
I hate to break it to you, but since he returned, everyone he's been on the mic with has buried him.
Yeah.
Because all he is catchphrases. Yeah. And that's not what the WWE is anymore.
You could have taken one of those Rock dolls with a pull string and had it go up against one.
I smell what The Rock is cooking.
You got a question.
Cena already did heel, it was his US title run, and it was amazing.
Yeah, I'm talking about from this point on, why does Shane goes heel?
As a top thing.
Yeah, and here's my theory, I'll ask what y'all think. He is so important to the Make-A-Wish Foundation and to the WWE after Benoit stuff. he never said, and then nowadays kids...
I know the answer to this, if you will let me answer it.
Wait, can I ask? I know for a fact, I'm not gonna lie to you. As a human being, I'm okay with John Cena. Because he seems like a nice... He does do all that stuff. And that's sort of hard work, man. That's a lot of hard work. Like, making all those wishes, doing all that stuff, and then going out and being booed.
I would never condemn the guy as a human being or you know, as a humanitarian. I would never say it's overuse of the character. It's done. It did run years ago. Yeah.
See, here's the thing: is Cena summed it up in that face to face with Punk when they were signing their contracts. He is the New York Yankees. He elicits hate and love at the same time, but he doesn't care about the people that hate him. He only cares about the people that cheer for him. And I can respect that. The problem is, they will never turn Cena heel because when Hogan was coming up, who was behind him? Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man, even to a lesser extent, Bret Hart, Mr. Perfect. Who's behind Cena?
No, they haven't taken the time.
The only face they had close, well, the only face
Kofi
was Cena.
Does. Not Kofi. That's true, though. There was the post. Yeah. He was actually good as like the post show.
He's a charismatic dude.
When I was watching that. I'm not gonna lie. When I saw a WrestleMania post show with what was it? It was Dusty, Kofi, and
Jim Ross.
And I saw him there and how comfortable he was. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, he's getting an IC title.
Yeah.
I was like, he's doing such a good job. He's getting an IC title.
See, here's the thing. The only person
in the WWE,
and this is another one of my statistics, the only person that's ever outsold John Cena in merchandise in the last 10 years is CM Punk.
That's true.
Where are my ice cream bars?
All right, well,
can we have an ice cream bars, Tom?
Well, yeah.
No? Okay.
Did you bring ice cream bars?
Well, no. Wait, is it starting?
How do you feel about the ascension from Spirit Squad to World Champion?
At fucking last. In fact, you know what? You know what? No, I'm gonna rant. Fuck WWE. Sorry. Fuck WWE.
I'm sorry.
That should have happened one night earlier and give Dolph his fucking WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what?
I agree.
He should have got Cena, man.
No, he can't. He couldn't get Cena because he had the SmackDown money in the belt. I hate to break to you, but the briefcase was blue. But the point is, it's not about that. Even if he beat Jack Swagger and Alberto Del Rio, the most boring feud ever.
I got a question. It's like,
give him his WrestleMania moment.
The crowd in Rufford, New Jersey the night after WrestleMania. Best crowd ever.
I'd like to challenge that. Well, this is the best crowd ever.
Yes!
All right, let's end the show. All right, favorite match in the past few years.
Favorite match, you got to come back to me on that one, man. I've watched a lot of wrestling.
I mean, right now, I'm gonna dig deep. And I don't know if any of you guys watch Ring of Honor, but I'm gonna go ahead, for your sake, Dan, it's gonna be Samoa Joe against, what's it, Kenta Kobashi. No commentary match, that thing was sick.
That's a little bit overrated.
All right.
No, but see, it's overrated.
I got my
now,
answer.
But think of the time. All right. Think of the time.
This is a rough one, and it barely edges out. I might do my runner-up, which would be probably the second.
You lost for one.
I was making my runner-up. My runner-up was to be the second Undertaker, Triple H WrestleMania.
Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, the Hell in a Cell would be the runner-up. My number one pick would be the series of matches, Motor City Machine Guns, Beer Money. Yeah.
All right. Now, considering how much hating I've done on TNA, I was out of watching wrestling for a while, and I will give my favorite match in the last few years to TNA, and it was AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Chris Sabin, Ultimate X.
Nice.
That moment where AJ Styles is hanging off, and Chris Sabin missile drop kicks him, and he does a 360 in the air and lands on his back. I was like, done! Done! even though they kind of botched the ending where he didn't grab the belt properly, like that was the match that brought me back into actively watching wrestling. So I think it deserves a shout out.
Yeah.
But my absolute favorite match. CM Punk, John Cena, Money in the Bank.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. There's the drama behind that. It's so crucial. You don't get that in a lot of matches.
Yeah. And my favorite moment of the last few years, Dolph Ziggler cashing in.
Yeah, that was great.
It was amazing because the hottest crowd in Europe all just waiting for Dolph. Yeah. They're all just waiting for
him. See, here's the crazy thing is, they tried booking him as this week champion. Like, they even had him lose on Raw. What are you, Jeff Jarrett? That was like the best catchphrase ever. Don't piss me off, though. Slap nuts. Jinx, you want me a soda? But, man, give him his fucking WrestleMania moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally agree, man.
And, all right, can we get a show of hands? Who actually thinks this year's WrestleMania was good?
All right. 3%.
Yeah.
And you know the sad thing is?
Was it worth $70?
And you know the sad thing? The WrestleMania of this year brought the WWE record profits, so they're going to do even worse next year.
They're
congratulations,
not.
Everyday wrestling fan.
Yeah.
And on that note,
guys, I'm going to end the show with this song again because it's so amazing.
Oh,
hell yeah.
That is. Oh, it's Van Halen. You listening now. Sit down and enjoy the music.
Can we lock the doors?
Before we dance, play the Bandango, I have another song that I like, and we can close it.
What is it?
Can I just play it?
If it ain't Cult of Personality, we riot.
No.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bring it back because I actually like this song.
Sir, I like your sign, but I never learned how to read.
Are your arms tired yet? Yeah. You hold that thing the whole show.
It's his workout.
Are you ticklish?
That's how he got guns like that. He just holds it there.
All right, guys, I just want to say thank you. This has been pretty awesome.
I tell you what, guys, email AwesomeCon if you want to see another wrestling panel this year.
Can we do a guest again? Let's go. Yes!
Yes! Yes! Yes! Yes! Yes! Yes! Yes! Yes! And now we walk out chanting that.
Baby! Hopefully see you next year.
Thank you all for coming and listening to us ramble.
Yes! Baby!
And there you go. There you have it, everyone. I told you it was going to be insane. I told you it was going to be wild. That's how we ended. We ended on a super duper energetic high note of pure insanity, pure pro wrestling. And you know we love pro wrestling here on the Carolyn and Joe show. Did you enjoy that, Carolyn?
It was amazing, man. My brain can't handle it.
My brain can't handle it. And of course, everyone, thank you for listening. This show is brought to you by StrayProductions.com. Check out my new work at one-shots.com, spelled just like how it sounds. Like I pronounce it, but it sounds like one shots, but there's a hyphen in the center of it.
You're also making it more confusing.
Yeah, go look it up. Go look it up. Also, check out my newest work at goastray.tumblr.com. What about you, Carolyn?
Well, you can check out my comic strip called Curls. It's at curls-studio.com. It's just the way I said it, but there's a hyphen in the middle, so it's curls-studio.com. But you don't have to spell out the word hyphen. You can just put curls-studio.com.
It's a minus symbol. It's a dash. It's a dash.
Yeah,
it's
I mean, figure it out.
We both share that in our website.
You can just Google it or something. You'll find it.
But thank you, everyone, for taking the time to listen to these last 3 weeks of our gift to you. And, AwesomeCon is a gift to us. It's our hometown show. But it's also, let's have a taste of it. So go back and listen to those episodes one more time and just keep on listening, because you had the Theo Crane one, you had the District Comic one, and now you had the Pro Wrestling Today one. All just a trilogy of amazingness, and hopefully we get to do it again.
Trilogy of awesomeness.
Trilogy of awesomeness. And hopefully we get to do it again next year and every single year after that. Let them know. Let awesome conventions know that they're putting on some great stuff. And that's what we do. That's what we do. So hopefully next week, not hopefully, but next week, you're going to hear us talk for a whole entire hour or so about completely amazingness. And just like every other week, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Send them home, Carolyn.
Fandango.